Hey guys, welcome to the Lawn Care Leaders Podcast. I'm your show host, Britt. Today's show is brought to you by Evergrow Marketing. They are a digital marketing agency that caters to landscaping and lawn care businesses. If you need help ranking higher in Google, showing up on Facebook, or just need someone to build you a new website, these are your guys. Go ahead, when you look them up at Evergrow Marketing, don't forget to tell them that Britt Dowd from the Lawn Care Leaders Podcast sent you over for an extra 10% off setup fees. Hey guys, got a good show here for you. Dylan Stevenson of Solo Cuts Landscaping, great guy, joins us. We talk shop a little bit. We talk YouTube. We talk about the potential for him going full-time in lawn care. He's got a full-time job, got a little baby starting his family, another baby on the way this coming spring. So a lot going on for this guy. Really cool dude, super nice guy. Really fun getting to know him. So he's doing big things on his YouTube channel. He's active on Instagram as well. If you just look up Solo Cuts Landscaping on YouTube or Instagram, you'll find him there. So thanks again, Dylan, for being on the show. Listen in, guys, and thanks for being with us this week. Hope you guys are getting after it. I know, especially in the Southern Hemisphere, spring is in full force, in full effect. You guys are shaking and baking, getting out there, making it happen. So hope you're listening while you're on the mower, you're out marketing, doing some cleanups, some mulch jobs. Keep at it. This is a good, fun episode, and we will be back with you soon. Be okay?
Yep, I can hear you perfect, man.
Cool. How's everything going? Before we just hop right into things,
yeah,
get to know each other a little bit. And then just so you know, if I'm ever looking down, I'm going to be taking notes. Questions that pop in my head. So I'm never ignoring you. Just want to make sure we get as much good content, and I don't want to ever skip over anything. I can kind of get sporadic. So
yeah,
help me stay on pace. So Dylan, man, tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how you got started, and we'll get to know each other a little bit.
Yeah. So, my name is Dylan Stevenson, based out of Springfield, Ohio, owner, operator of Solo Cuts Landscaping.
Okay.
We've been in business for 5 years now. I would say serious business for about three.
Okay.
Married to my beautiful wife that we went to school together. Okay. And then awesome. I met up, a couple years later.
Where'd you go to school at?
Northwestern. Okay. High school wise, at the Northwestern, so just a county school.
Yeah.
We have a 19 or 20 month old son. He maybe even 21 months. He's turns two in May. So excited for that. He's turning two, and my wife is due April 11th with our second. So
you're busy.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're busy. We're right now. It's crunch time.
Is it a boy or a girl?
We're having a girl.
A baby girl.
Yep. So we get the best of both worlds, boy and girl.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What's your son's name?
Easton. Easton James.
Easton James. That's a cool name. So he's almost two, and then right during peak season, you'll have baby girl come along.
So luckily, it'll all be good. So. Yeah. Awesome. But yeah, so when I say we've been in business serious for, 3 years, really, it's all got started by just trying to pick up just a couple properties to make a payment on the mower. My wife and I, we had recently purchased a house. We're up on a hill, so we needed a mower that could handle the hill. The hill that we live on would burn up a residential mower in no time. We have about 2 acres here, so
yeah.
So I bought a commercial mower, and I was like, "Well, I'll just pick up a couple and try to make
this thing's expensive. I got to go pay for it."
So I ended up starting off with a Cub Cadet, one of their tank series.
Okay.
And after a couple of years of just posting pictures and stuff on Facebook and everything, I started getting calls, wanting to. Hey, would you give me an estimate on my own? Would you give me an estimate on this? So it kind of just snowballed into this thing to where now we're really, you know, trying to get after it, that's, you know,
awesome. That's awesome.
Expanding more, like doing more landscaping installs and everything like that. Yep. So just a little more each year, we're just, you know, adding on to it. And it's turned into a great thing, though. That's, you know, cool, definitely, man. Something we enjoy. So
that's cool. So 5 years total, 3 years pretty seriously.
Yep.
You got a full-time job. So
yes, I
touch
do.
On that a little bit. How long does that take? What's your week look like with that?
Yeah. So we're Monday through Friday at my full-time job. Been there for 8 years this July.
Okay.
I wake up between 3 and 4 in the morning, for work, and then typically get off between 12 and 2. Okay. Some days, you know, it's earlier, some days maybe later. But that's typically my schedule at my full-time job. Okay. So, and then, you know, my schedule for mowing and the business is at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
Is when I do all my lawn maintenance. So that way it saves toward the tail end of the week and then any time in the weekend to do like landscape jobs. Or we didn't have any landscape jobs, but we had, you know, some rain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then it gives me some leeway days to get it in before the weekend.
That makes sense. So, yeah. That's
but, good. you know, there's days where I don't get in until 8:30, 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And you know, it's an 18-hour day.
Yeah.
And, you know, come home, shower, eat, go to bed, and wake up at 3:30 in the morning.
Do it all over again.
It'd be tough, but, you know, we know what our end goal is in mind. So
talk about that a little bit. Let's hang out there for a while. So you got a full-time job. You got a new family that you're starting. Tell us, what are your goals? Are you looking to keep the full-time job and only do like side hustle lawn care? Are you looking to make the leap? So tell me about your plan and then we'll kind of delve into some details as we go.
Yeah. So, like we had mentioned before, I'm super grateful for the job I have at GFS. You know, it's provided great things to my life. And honestly, if it wasn't for that job, I probably wouldn't have ventured it. Like I wouldn't have like, you know, like the means or whatever to start this off. You know what I mean? Like the not have
sounds
to.
Sounds like you're making pretty good money. You've got a little flexibility with your route. So you've got some margin with both your income and your time. So that's good.
Yeah. Because, and what's nice is we don't consider our lawn care income, everything in the business stays in the business. Like we do not consider that a means of income. Like when we do our financials and everything, like it's strictly business, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Business expense and all, and reinvest in the business and everything like that.
Yeah.
But yes, to answer your question is we do have goals and ambitions that have taken us on full time. Just trying to get our, as well as we can, our ducks in a row. I know that it's getting to the point of a juggling act, you know, of not being able to take on work and, you know, customers that I wanted to take on, you know, say it's a landscape job or, you know, a little bigger commercial property. But then, you know, I have to keep in mind I work full time. So it's like if I get held up at work or we get rain and I get backed up, I can't make a bad name for myself because I want to grow something that, you know what I mean? So it's just,
Let me ask you this. So what is your plan with that? So you obviously, you got to get the boat close enough before you can jump. Are you going to do that by taking on as much as you can handle and then making the leap and you just know, hey, I'm turning down so much more work? Or are you going to maybe hire a part-time guy or a full-time guy, get him busy? When he's busy, then you know you can make the leap. Because you can kind of take on those responsibilities at that point, or what's your plan?
Yeah, so I've been solo owner operator since I've been started. I've had a little handful of help here and there, but for the most part, it's been, you know, one man show.
Okay.
So that's the big thing this year is I am looking to hire on like that just part time seasonal help.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, because I was just having a conversation with a guy, buddy of mine. He runs. On Brian's lawn maintenance.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, I saw one of your Instagram posts, you were tagged with him or something like that. Yeah.
Yep. So I bounce back ideas with him all the time. Talk to him all the time. I just had an hour and a half conversation with him the other night. we're talking about, you know, hiring on help, which is what you were just asking. You know, my goal is to hire on help to not just, you know, tame a fire, just to buy some more time. Yeah. Like, oh, that ease up the workload. No, it's like bring on part-time help to get what I do now done in, say, a day and a half. Well, now I have another day and a half to pick up more company, you know, more businesses, you know, clients, whatever, and expand, like not to just free up some time. No, like now I say I have a 3-day window. Now let's crush it in that 3-day window, not have a day and a half work.
And I think I'm more meant from the aspect of bringing somebody on board that, you know, when you max them out, you can now, you know, quit your full-time job over here and take on his role. So I didn't know if you were kicking around that, or, you know, subcontracting some stuff out, or if you're just literally just going to go crazy for the next year or 2 years.
And yeah, then make that jump. Yeah, that's based. I think that's what we're at. You know, were you asking, you know, as in like, all right, guy, take my truck, my trailer, I'm doing my. I'd still like to be part of the operation, you know, because.
So you're doing everything. Just try to manage as much as you can.
Once you get to your breaking point, then jump.
Okay.
Yep. And, you know, I've worn every hat in the business so far, you know. So one thing my wife and I talked about, because she's a huge impact on this whole thing, like the support that I get from her. I mean, just things like asking her to basically take care of everything around the house, you know, when I'm doing 17-hour days. So, but one thing we're going to work on with getting her more involved in it is kind of doing like a little behind the scenes action, like, you know, sending out the invoicing, you know, taking in some calls, whatever it may be, just kind of lighten the payload on my end. So, you know, I think that'll be good though. It'll get her more involved in everything and a little more understanding on how things are working, like on the back end. But you know, I always have her, like, it's an open book with us, you know what I mean? So it's not like a, but I think bringing her on to help that aspect,
it's going to be,
would definitely help out a lot of stress, like, you know, like not going to be late on getting invoices out, you know, making sure scheduling is on point. And, so I think it'll be a good thing to kind of bring on some more help to where it will free up that time to continue to grow.
That's awesome. Yeah. Put those pieces in place. That's exactly what I did. We're big on margin, creating margin wherever you can, efficiencies wherever you can. And then my wife and I did that exact same thing. So I think it was just her and I for the first 4 years, something like that. But again, communication's key. If guys, now we're speaking to our audience a little bit here, but if you're out there and you don't have a spouse, or you're dating, or you're looking, having somebody that just builds you up, builds your confidence, has the same values in, you know, faith, finance, and family. That's all key to growing a company. Because it's not just like any other job where you can kind of categorize, hey, I got my family over here, I got my work over here. Whenever it's small business, like it's all in there. You bring family to work, you bring work to family. It's hard at the end of the night not to sit down over a meal and, you know, talk about your small business. I mean, it is your life. So that says a lot, speaks a lot to her as well, that she's, that she's helping you out. And that's, I mean, that's going to be so nice when she takes that off, your plate. That's going to give you that extra margin, like you were talking about with Brian, to chase after those big sales and close down more clients.
Because I don't know if it was a podcast I was listening to or an audio book, but they said, like, behind every successful man is a stronger woman. You know what I mean? So it's like, especially like guys that are, I feel like that, that actually that really encloses it all.
We actually, we just put, I posted about that yesterday, because my wife did a post about it, and like, it'd been 7 years and we hired 7 new people. So she did this whole big, you know, bit on it.
Yeah, I read that.
Okay. And so that's what I was posting about, you know, beside every good man is a great woman. And it's just like, it's just a big deal, man. And I don't think people think about that enough. They think they can segment everything. And when you're a small business owner, that's not how it works. And the other thing is, for us, it seems easier when we're taking risk, because a lot of the times we can see the financial reward, or men are more headstrong. They're like, okay, we're going to get here. Women need the security. But those, you know, our wives take a huge risk. And a lot of times they don't see any upside for a long, long time.
Well, it's, you know, they see like, oh, you got a new trailer, new blower, new mower, you know, and just, you know, so getting them involved in the system and kind of just like
true stuff, bro. Yeah.
Ups and downs. It's, yeah. I think it'll be good though. Definitely.
True stuff. My wife and I were talking this weekend. It was like for the longest time. And at one point she even like broke down. She was like, We don't have any money. We just have a lot of trucks. So it's like everything was put right back in there. So that's cool. She's on board with it, and that makes everything that much better. I mean, that alone is going to make you successful. It just time and persistence at this point, and you're going to be good to go.
And she's in the process of she has her LPN. She's in the process of getting her RN. So I mean, everything in the next couple of years, you know, because also with having our second child is a whole new world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you don't just have one now.
Yeah.
You got a 2-year-old and you got a newborn and you're trying to juggle, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, dude, that throws a whole new.
It's going to, you know, a lot of things are going to start working out like the next 2 years because, you know, we're trying to grow slow, steady, but not be stagnant.
Yeah, exactly. And,
But I think it's all going in the right direction.
Well, share a little bit with that, because I know every year we invest a scary amount back into the company. I mean, it's lawn care, you know, cash flow comes to a screeching halt, and so we have that little pile of money and we just reinvest it all back in.
Yeah.
Do you have certain percentages or breakdowns that you would want to share, or what's your reinvestment plan look like since you do have a full time job? And you kind of want to keep that growing at a steady pace.
Yeah. So, literally, like, we do not touch personally wise that money for expense. You know what I mean? Like, now there is times where, you know, may go out to dinner on the company. You know what I mean?
And like, talk about marketing and write it off.
You know what I mean? Stay with a hat.
Yeah, exactly. Wear your hat and go get some Mexican food. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but for the most part, though, I mean, we hold ourselves to a pretty good budget to where, you know, we're putting back as much as possible and giving ourselves to spend as little as possible.
Okay.
You know, when it comes to business-wise, though, I mean, it really, like, I guess you could say, like, I ride that broke line, you know what I mean, to where it's like I'm paying, you know, paying off equipment. Like, right now, all we owe is half of our mower.
Yeah.
And then everything is, you know, going to be good to go there that wise. But, it's really just keep pouring it in, keep pouring it in, because I feel like if I sit there and hold on to it, it's going to find its way out and probably not in the best way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So as long as I just keep pushing in, you know, to whether it's just some branding, you know, website build, whatever it may be, as long as it just keeps getting put back into the business, I think, well, then that we'll start seeing the flip end of that to where, you know, we're not having to make payments on this or that. And we're just going to see that cash value go up. And
that's good.
Just again, though, keep putting it into the business, you know, because right now it's easy to do because I am working full time, you know, so that balance of, you know, what stays in the business, the personal, like we haven't had to argue, argue, but we haven't had to cross that boundary yet.
Yeah.
So with working full time, it's just, keep just keeping it in the business.
Awesome. That's awesome. But I mean, you're building that habit. We talked about this in I think it was our bookkeeper part 2 episode, not raising your lifestyle. And I touch on it. I don't know which episode it is, but how we kind of the peaks and valleys whatever we're living off of, whenever we get a spike in income, we try not to realize that as income. We try to earmark that either for savings or reinvestment back into the company.
Slush, I remember that episode.
Yeah, slush fund.
That was a good one.
You're doing that right now. Even though it has, you know, it's built differently and framed differently because it's a full-time job, you're still working that muscle, getting that habit built, which is, I mean, that's a big deal. Because once you take the leap, I mean, you're going to have opportunities to spend money everywhere. You can't even imagine. I'm sure you already see that. Knowing, hey, I'm earmarking this percentage, I'm earmarking this for that, reinvesting here, marketing, branding, equipment, that all plays a big part. And I think, too, we don't talk about it enough, but in the first 7 to 9 years, really, in starting a company, I believe keeping your income, if not the same or barely raising it, is a huge deal. I don't know what your guys' plans are there, but for us, we've had to keep it roughly the same and reinvest everything. It's seemed to work out, but hopefully, and people don't realize how long it takes. Everybody wants to invest everything and then start reaping the benefits 1 or 2 years later. Yeah. That's not how it works.
Yeah. So. And that's definitely something, I mean, even, you know, in the, just the handful of years, not just because, you know, 5 years is, you know, a lot of people don't even get to that point. Granted, the full-time job has helped, mm-hmm. but
yeah,
that's the thing is like, not, oh, I made, you know, like you said, $3,000 this week, more than last week. Let's go spend it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And even but if you go spend also, it on the like, business too, you got to be careful with that. Cause it's even, it's like, we got that $3,000. Let me go get that new piece of equipment or something. And it's convenient and it's nice, but you got to make sure it's going to make you efficient enough to have an ROI very, very quickly. Otherwise, you're just making your life easier. So wants versus
needs. Say with buying new equipment, like say like a mower, you know, say like, okay, I would love to have a 36-inch stand-on mower to get into these couple neighborhoods to where it's like there's smaller yards, you know what I mean? But it's like if I'm not working that piece of equipment at a full-time hour rate, it's not worth –
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, that's true though. You know, when you consider reinvesting into the company, that doesn't mean I'm going to buy 3 BR800s this year. And
exactly. There has to be an ROI somewhere. Even I mean, and I'm fine with spending. I would rather people spend money on branding because the ROI on that long term is going to be a lot better than buying equipment short term.
Absolutely.
Also, I know you're in a loan now, but we always recommend as much as you can. Buy stuff cash, because if you are continually reinvesting but you're not paying cash, eventually you're going to be over leveraged. Now when it's just 1 to 3 guys, you can manage that a little easier. So let's talk about this. So obviously you're balancing a lot. You've got one kid, another one on the way, you got full-time job, you're a busy man, and now you've told us you're trying to make the leap. So you're putting pieces in place there. What are your goals? What do you need to hit to make that jump? What are your goals around that?
That is a very good question.
it can be client number, it can be revenue mark. What do you think?
We definitely want to grow the revenue to a point to where we are like, okay, you know, I mean, say we hit that revenue mark 2 years running.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's a consistent number there to where now we can base something off that, you know? Yeah. And with what we have put back as, you know, like our safety blanket, like if push come to shove and we need something, like there it is.
Okay.
But you really just, you know, when I, like I said, bringing on that part-time guy, when we hit, I would say definitely like when we hit that max load with that guy, that's when it's going to be like, okay, you know, we're wanting to make a leap. But there's also, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's like a direct like mark, like, oh, we hit this mark.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I think it's more or less just the couple things that we have in life coming ahead of us, you know, with the second child, getting in a routine of having that. Like I said, we're definitely in the point of juggling both workloads. You know what I mean? So I don't know if it's a distinct point that we're looking to hit, because I know there's plenty of work out there. I know we're on the right, like everything's just, each year we've grown more and more and more. So it's not a thought of, I don't think I can do it. It's, we're just, I guess, to the point of where it's like, okay, when are we just going to go ahead and pull the trigger? You know what I mean? So,
definitely, if you weren't married and you didn't have kids, I mean, kids change a lot.
So, oh yeah.
If I would have started this company back, you know, when I had 2 or 3 kids, it would be a different conversation. I still think I would have taken a lot of risks that I did. I just think they might have been smaller, you know? But I, so got a couple notes here that I don't even know if you realize you said it, but you did. And so I'll point them out real quick. But yeah. One, it sounds like for our listeners, you've got some sort of slush fund or emergency fund.
So yeah.
Whether that's 3 months, 6 months, whatever, you know, that person and their spouse come up with, they feel comfortable with, they need to think about that. And then I thought the part-time help was huge as well, because bring that part-time help on, maxing him out, that that gives you margin to grow while you have the full-time job. And then when you take the leap, now you've got even more margin to grow and help when you're going full-time.
Absolutely.
So I thought that was huge. Having a little safety net, that's the whole bring the boat closer before you jump. And then the part-time help gives you that margin and that efficiency so that you can kind of hit the ground running when you make that move. Okay, cool. That's awesome, man. Well, you'll have to definitely keep me in the loop. I want to hear how it's going. And
yeah, definitely. It's exciting, especially like this year, you know, like we know how the spring was last year. And like, take for instance, like even the tail end of last year, we went from doing 6 fall cleanups in 2017 to 18 in 2018.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, everything is growing. We're getting more calls. We're getting calls like outside of like, in a way, like our work area.
Okay.
So which but that's another topic on a whole other, I get, but like route density wise.
Yeah, briefly, are you trying to stay dense or are you just taking on anything?
Super dense.
Okay,
super
good.
Dense. Because good. I am work, like that's been a nice bonus of working full time and doing this is my time is super crucial.
Yeah.
Like I have this many, like especially later in the season you get when it starts getting darker earlier.
Yeah.
Like if, like I pull up to, like there's 3 neighborhoods I'm in, each one of them, like of the neighborhood wise, I'll park in one spot, hit 4, park in one spot, hit 4. You know what I mean? So that way I can just keep tapping them out. Cause if I'm like, the more window time you have, you start doing this, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, that's been the nice part is just, I've easily learned to say no. You know what I mean? Like if once I don't, even if it's just like people say, oh, but you service Springfield. Yeah. Well, like our city, you know, it's like, well, this side of Springfield, you know, it's 20 minutes. That side of Springfield.
Service,
you know?
Right here. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, but that's, you know, that's a huge thing that I think a lot of people don't take as serious is, man, if you can just stack them properties on top of one another, you'll reap huge benefits of that. And
especially in the
you'll
beginning,
look
it's
like
tough
in my neighborhood, being a what's that?
I said, especially in the beginning, it's tough when you're just trying to make a buck. It's it's tempting to go outside your zone, but when you've got that full-time job and you need to bang those out, you know, quickly, you got to stay as dense as possible.
Yep. And, you know, it also, it's like, you know, if you're think about it as this, if you're in the same neighborhood constantly, they're thinking, oh my gosh, there may be like 2 trucks in this neighborhood, but really it's just your truck. You know what I mean? But they constantly are seeing you. You know, say a couple of days in a row or week after week.
Yeah.
And they could think you're like, I did a landscape job in the fall. And I went out and gave the estimate. You know, I was wearing like my polo, everything like that. And when I showed up as a one-man show, she was kind of set back. Like, I don't think she understood, you know.
It's me.
And she's like, okay.
It's
okay,
me, darling.
You know.
Yeah.
But when she was like, I cannot believe that it just, you know, that you did that. Just one person.
That's
did
cool.
This. And that's so,
cool.
So that was positive, you know what I mean, to see. But
that's cool.
But yeah, route density, though, I definitely stay on that.
That's cool. Do y'all have a lot of competition in your area?
Yeah, there. Yeah, you know, you have your couple bigger companies, you know, and then you also have your, you know, ones that are just out there literally to make a quick buck and you know, get on with it. So but you know, I just present myself, you know, as I'm not the guy that's out, you know. I even put in my marketing flyer, you know, that I'm not the cheapest guy around.
Yeah.
And I'll tell them that right up front, but my prices are fair and competitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I let them know right up front, like if you're looking for the cheapest price in town, then you might want to call the next guy because that's not going to be me.
That's so awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's good. And it says a lot about your company and where you're going. Because you want to compete on other things besides price. Like you said, you want to be fair. You want to make a profit. but ultimately you want to add enough value where that's not an issue. So what are you guys focusing on as far as your service scope? Are you going to do maintenance leading into landscaping, or do you want to only do mowing and maintenance? What's your plan for that?
Right now we actually do lawn maintenance and landscape design and install. Don't get me wrong, I love striping a yard, you know what I mean? But the landscape end, I absolutely love. Especially because, like, this year we did a couple of them to where it was either a jungle or there was no landscaping at all, to where, to transform a house from nothing to having a great landscaping, that I love that. And obviously, your margins are a little better on landscaping,
A lot better. What are your margins on landscaping, and what are your margin on mowing? Do you know those?
So, I would say when we do a landscape install, like the actual percentage, I couldn't tell you. I just kind of break it down into like individual sectors of like, okay, this is what my material cost is. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm charging on material costs, you know? And then like, okay, how long do I think it's going to do? So once I kind of compile this together, I think of, okay, I want to make this per hour. Like I want to average up to this per hour. So when I kind of figure out like what my material cost is and that section of it, I then backside it with what I want my to make per hour. And then see where those kind of cross. And then if I could find a happy medium with that, then I know I'm on the right point.
Now, in the beginning, since you were, just starting out, had a few clients. How did you do that? You knew what you wanted to make per hour, so you backed into the numbers. Did you ever try to price compare with other companies to make sure you were middle of the road, or did you just find that out later?
I kind of found it out later, because I'll tell you what, like mowing wise, it wasn't too bad. Just because I was like, all right, $40 property, sure, $40. You know what I mean? $40 cut. But then the one time that I completely learned from was I got burnt on a landscape job. I got burnt hard. I gave a price, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is, you know what I mean?
I can do this.
This is good money. You know what I mean? Because you think of like just that dollar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like, it may have been my second year in.
Yeah.
And I saw that dollar amount and I was like, oh yeah. Well then, to get that job done, it was kind of the property owner drug their feet about like what they're wanting done. I got a phone call on a Tuesday saying, hey, I have an executive's coming in Saturday. We need that landscape done.
Oh my.
Yeah. So my parents, both my parents, my mother-in-law, they ended up coming and helping. Luckily, like my parents, they had a beautiful landscape. Like our house was like 12 yards of mulch every year. I don't know why I'm even doing this right now, because I did 12 yards. We did 12 yards of mulch every year. Tear out, put in new. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, so luckily I had them to help and everything. But after I was done and I got paid, I then thought about, okay, so say I went, my parents, they were nice and didn't make me pay them.
Yeah.
But I think I even said, if I just paid them $15 an hour for what they've done, after expenses, like materials and everything, and then what I paid them, I would have came out with a $50 end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So you would have $50 of profit at the end.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and because I had a little bit of markup on plant stuff, but then I was like, wait a minute. Because it was nice because I didn't have to pay them. So, what we did for, all that, it was like, okay, I made up good in a way.
Yeah.
But after seeing if I really would have shoveled out some money, what that money would have been. And that right then was like, that literally from that point on was, we're not going down that road again, are we, Dylan?
Exactly. So, and you do that and you throw in one unexpected scenario or something breaks or equipment breakdown, guys don't show up. I mean, you can get in a trouble, a pinch in a hurry.
Yep.
So, that's pretty, All it takes is one time getting burnt, though, and you learn your lesson.
Seriously, so, you learn it like that. So that's why, you know, you can't, you know.
But that's good. You learn it with you. Thing. Learn it with you and your family, rather than when you have 10 to 20 employees.
Yeah.
Could be a $500,000 job, and I mean that's going to be a lot. That's going to be third degree burns instead of a little singe.
Have to recover from that one.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool, man. If you're okay with it, let's transition. I know you're on Instagram a lot. But seems like you're a little more YouTube oriented, or you've been pushing that quite a bit more. Tell us a little bit about that, and then maybe stress the importance both locally in growing your own company, networking, knowledge, just the whole gamut, what it means for you on growing your social media and your influence.
Yeah, the past, like I started YouTube up really, I hit a decently last year, but this year I definitely am wanting to up my YouTube game, and I also kind of cross that in with Instagram, you know, sharing, you know, like what I post on YouTube, you know, inserts on
what's your end goal with that? Be as transparent as you can. Do you want to build up an audience, monetize it, and eventually get paid for ads? Do you want to just add value and then do speaking gigs? What's your goal?
Like the focus of my channel is being the full-time guy and running a little landscape company. So I'm trying to bring people some value to my channel to where it's like, if they're a couple of steps behind me, they can see because I tell them, I'm going to show you my successes and my failures. So you're a couple steps behind me, if something works out for me, I'll let you know. And maybe you can implement that into yours. But if it is a failure, then maybe you can bypass that and, you know, move on to something else. But hopefully I grow to a good audience to where, I mean, obviously, you know, it takes doing this takes a lot of time and effort to pump out, you know, channel videos and everything.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't hurt to be able to monetize up, but I would just be more of an impact on the community itself.
Yeah.
You know, and Instagram and YouTube has opened up a lot of opportunity for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have a huge following in the scheme of everyone. But networking end.
Yeah.
I mean, the people I have, you know, reached out to and have learned from, take for instance, last year was my first year at the GIE Expo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had people coming up to me, like knowing me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who am I? You know what I mean? Yeah. But yet I was also able to meet these companies that I was able to network with and, you know, do some work with.
Yeah.
To where that just, you know, promotes extended value to not only myself, but the people I'm trying to reach to.
That's awesome.
But like I said, the networking end is awesome. Like the guy, like Brian, had it not been for, you know, staying on with him on social media and everything, like I've learned so much from the people on social media that I feel like anyone was to ask themselves, should they start a YouTube channel? Should they start an Instagram? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because not only does that open you up to be able to communicate with other people and learn from others in the industry you're in, but that's another notch on Google to where when they type in Solo Cuts Landscaping, oh, wait a minute, they have an Instagram. Oh, they have a YouTube.
Yeah.
And, you know, they may be able to even see a little more of that raw material, you know, on the back end and be like on a personal level.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said, it's just another spark in that fire to where, you know, you circle everything around to your website, just, you know, get everything going to where, I mean, it's just another platform that, you know, you can grow and hopefully build a brand.
It's all branding, right? I mean, you've got branding, all these... Yes. All these different platforms that you're posting on, to your point, the personal touch helps a lot, especially in today's age. People don't want to click on a website, read pages of material. You know, they click on it, then all of a sudden they see they have a YouTube video, they see that. Immediately, those videos build rapport, build brand awareness. And you also start to market yourself in that location as an industry leader. And be like, okay, you know, do I go with this guy who's the same price, or do I go with this guy who's got, you know, 1,000 YouTube subscribers, really solid Instagram page, seems like a good guy, I can see his kid's pretty cute, I like kids, boom, they buy from you. So all those little pieces, and it sounds funny, but they play into it, and that's pretty cool. Okay, so somebody, let's go very, very like grassroots level. YouTube, somebody's just absolutely ignorant, wants to get started, doesn't know anything. Yeah. Level one, when you got started, what does somebody need to do?
I used my cell phone as my camera on YouTube. I downloaded a free app. It was like Photo Director, Video Director or something. And I uploaded it straight to YouTube. There was like minimal editing. I mean, if I was just over the weekend I recorded a video and I was telling the guy that I recorded with, I was like, I just recently looked at like my first couple videos and I talked like this the whole time. And it was just so but now it's like, you know, you get more comfortable, you get more confident to where now it's like, what is going on, guys? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, but it takes nothing to get started.
Yeah.
Just get started is all you have to do. And, you know, you will learn as you go. So now it's like, I just been in something as simple as like, I've been doing all my footage with my GoPro. I have a GoPro Hero 5. I have an external mic.
Yeah.
I have a Joby tripod for it. We have a Mac for the office, so I use iMovie, which is free.
Okay.
Now we're starting. We're going to be getting a better camera. Okay. Is on the YouTube channel. I'm going to be doing like product reviews and everything.
Okay.
But the opportunities are endless. I mean, I recently got accepted into the UAG Echo UAG program last year. So this is my first year into it, and
that's a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a huge deal, you know, because that means like, oh, well, someone found some value in what I'm bringing, or like my story is important to someone.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it takes, I used, like I said, I didn't have any fancy equipment and I have a phone and that is all
you got,
I did.
You got your GoPro, you upload it to Apple iMovie and then just literally edit it there, put it right on YouTube.
Yep. And you upload the file straight to YouTube. Cool. And then, you know, and once you start getting more into it, like I watch a lot of YouTube and I may watch it in a different way that other people watch it. Yeah. Like I'll watch channels that aren't even long care related.
Yeah.
Like there's, like these certain fishing guys that, you know, do a lot of fishing.
Yeah.
They have huge subscriber counts, but it's like, I look at like the quality of their videos, how they're doing their edits, how they're titling their stuff, their descriptions.
Yeah.
You know, how is that all working together? Because it's working, definitely working for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I get on there a lot of times, like if I'm not watching lawn care related, you know, there's only a couple guys that I really watch lawn care.
Yeah.
To be honest,
yeah.
You know, because, but no, like once you upload on YouTube, you know, you'll start to get more interested. Once you get more into it, you'll start looking up like how do thumbnails, you know, what's the power of a thumbnail, like just versus just a blank picture. What's a way to promote your thumbnail to make it want to be clickable, or your titles, or your tagging, which I'm still learning all that, like 100%, like down to like the color of the text.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I'm constantly asking questions to my, like I said, Brian, he has a great YouTube channel and everything, and constantly blowing him up. I'm probably annoying, but he hasn't told me I'm annoying yet, so I'm asking.
That's cool. That's awesome he's helping you. It sounds like he's kind of taking you under his wing. And
yeah, absolutely. He is. I even told him, I was, you know, I consider him a mentor, definitely.
Very cool.
I have been able to, I mean, and I've told him, like, dude, I don't want no, you know, fantasy land, like, oh yeah, you can do it.
Yeah,
I was like, be 100% brutal and real. Like, I want, like, I asked him, you know, about some number wise. And I was like, I want hard numbers.
Yeah.
Like, don't, you know, take it easy on me. Like, life doesn't take it easy on you.
Yeah,
so, you know, be real about it. So,
that's cool.
Definitely know I can get some good information from him.
That's cool. Now, do you have a kind of a content plan that you're going to say, okay, hey, on Instagram, I'm going to post this time twice a day, do this many YouTube videos? What's kind of your content structure for 2019 look like?
Yeah, so right now, because I'm not doing a lot outside, you know, and able to produce much content, so I'm on the slower end right now.
Yeah.
But say for YouTube wise, I want to get to where I'm posting 3 times a week.
Okay.
You know, even if it's just a like, instead of it always being some huge edited video, even if it's just like a 3-minute blurb, you know what I mean, of just like some day in the action, like, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is, you know, just whether it's either entertaining or, you know, they can get some education from it.
Yeah.
Just getting that content out to them, you know. And then Instagram, once it's in season, I'm posting Instagram twice a day, every single day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I want to try to get on like a once a week, maybe once every other week live, you know, maybe even talk with someone, you know, you can do a couple people on live, just to involve the community more, you know, cause I feel like that's a big thing is the long care community and growing it. So,
But you're doing it, man. You're doing it. I mean, it seems like you're doing really well. And, I think a big thing that I see, at least on Instagram, I don't know about the podcast world, we keep claiming that we're going to do a YouTube channel. So hopefully we figure out how to, you know, strip the audio from this, put it there. We want to do that, but I know for me, I mean, I'll be honest, it's, you got to get over the fear of failure, and then you got to get over fear of the unknown and fear of rejection. Those three things, because, and more often than not, it's the fear of rejection. You put something out there, you don't know what people are going to think. You know for sure, I know for dang sure that I sound like a redneck hillbilly, and people are like, okay, I can't even understand what this dude's saying. So it's just like, you get over those fears, and you just put yourself out there. And then outside of that, just being as raw and organic as possible, that's where you're going to connect with people. Yep. Not trying to be something you're not, or, you know, ripping something from something you heard and interjecting it into your story. It's just you, who you are. That's, people are, I don't get wrapped up in how many likes somebody has or how many followers or subscribers, but the ones that do have big followings, they're themselves. They're real. And especially in the green industry, we all want to help each other. We all like seeing each other win. And so it's fun seeing, like, you know, the good guy, quote unquote, good guy win. Because they're no different than you and I. You know, Brian's no different than you, no different than me. They're just getting after it. They're hustling. And they learn a few key things along the way that we can pick up. So.
Yep, absolutely. And that was a good point you brought up, you know, is just you're going to keep, like, no matter what, you're going to have someone catching, you know, you're going to get slack from someone, but it's like, there's a podcast, a YouTube creator's podcast that I listen to. And he's like, nine times out of 10 is going to be the guy still living in his mom's basement.
You know what I mean? The guy that's got time to throw shade on you.
You know, and it's like, you know, you're not going to like, you know, you're not everyone's going to be a fan of what you're doing, but there's, like, because I know when the way I see it is, if I post a video up, I don't care how many people see it, but if five people just gain from whatever that content is, or it just make, like, if someone just looks forward to seeing that video, or it like, that's, it's that, what you get out of it is better than what you put more than what you put into
couldn't,
it. So.
Couldn't agree more, 100%. And I also use, like, in the beginning, I was using Instagram and Twitter just to motivate myself. So it's like, if I enjoyed it and I wanted to remember it, I would post it on Twitter in the beginning, and then I got on Instagram later. So I'd put, like, motivational quotes on there, and it's just like, okay, I enjoy this. I want to remember it, so I'm just going to put it out there. Yeah. And I think if you have that mindset, like, hey, do I enjoy listening to this? Am I getting value from it? If I listen to this a year, 2 years from now, will it be nice to look back and say, oh man, look how far I've come, or oh yeah, I forgot about reading that book or this. So if you enjoy the content, chances are somebody else will too, especially in the green industry.
Yep, absolutely.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Well, I want to respect your time, so I want to do a couple things here as we wrap up. First of all, appreciate you hanging out with us. Obviously you're busy. We've already addressed that. So I'm really appreciative from that standpoint. I want you to give a few plugs of where people can find you.
Okay.
And then also, one thing we would like to start doing on the podcast is, what's someone that you know or you look up to, or that you feel like, knowing our audience, because they're guys just like you and I, somebody that you know, like, and trust that our audience should hear from, that we should have on the podcast. So do your plug, and then also think about that as well, somebody that you might refer us to.
All right. Again, thank you very much for having me on this. This is my first podcast.
What?
So,
Man, we should have hit that out of the gate. I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is my first one, and I've been talking to my wife, like, I'm kind of nervous, like, you know, but, like, I had my brother-in-law bring his mic over, you know what I mean, and I got my lighting sitting here, like, I'm trying to do
it. Add a baby. I don't know if you saw my video over there is streaming from a trash can, so we're both living it up.
I got a Yeti coffee cup on top of a chair on top of a kitchen table.
You gotta show me that. You gotta show me that here in a second. Nice. Okay, dude, that's why it sounded like you were moving something pretty big. Oh gosh, that's awesome. That is so awesome. But yeah, back to your being nervous, bro. So one of my first podcasts, which you need to read this book if you haven't, is the author of Profit First, Mike Michalowicz. Yeah. Oh man, and I was so nervous. Right? So nervous to interview him.
I will say that was a great podcast. I listened to that one. That was
so good. If you're listening right now and you haven't listened to that one, go back. Mike Michalowicz, author of Profit First. I mean, it's gold. It's going to set you up financially as you grow your company. Yep. And for any size company for that matter. But anyways, I was so nervous. I think I was like, hey, this is, cause normally I'll record now knowing after the fact, I'll record our intro later, but I tried to do because it wastes time. So I tried to do my intro there not knowing what to do. And I was like, I'm with, Mike Michalowicz. I'm Britt. This is the Profit First podcast. So obviously I had to edit that out, but he's a super nice guy, super cool. If you see any of his content, it's real. He's the real deal.
He has some great audiobooks too, like The Pumpkin Plan. That is a great one.
Surge. He's come out with Clockwork. I haven't read that yet, but I think I'm gonna audible that while I'm out on the
Z. That's what I've done is audible. Plug the earbuds in when I'm mowing and get to it. But anyways, thank you very much though for having me on. This has been fun. Yeah. Love doing this. That's cool. Be nice to maybe catch up in 6 months or something and see how you guys bring on, you know, more employees and everything.
But are you going to the GIE?
Yep, absolutely. Okay,
we'll meet up there for sure.
Okay.
We'll meet up there. Where can people find you at?
Yep, on Instagram, Solo Cuts Landscaping. Facebook, Solo Cuts. Facebook would be So-Low Cuts Landscaping.
Okay.
Find me on YouTube under Solo Cuts Landscaping. Just recently had published our first website. Nice. So if you type in there on Google or just type it in the search bar, www.solocutslandscaping.com.
Okay. Cool.
You can see that. That was a big deal to get us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to start off this year, that was something we definitely were working for. So, that's cool. But yeah, you can check me out on those. And what was the question? Who would be good to have?
Yeah, just who, who do you know that you feel like would be able to add value to our audience?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, because of a aspect that I want to get into. Well, I'll name two people. First off is the guy I've been talking about, Brian's on maintenance.
Okay.
He has a lot of great things going on with him right now.
Yeah.
And learning and everything. He just released an instruction, like a, here, now I'm drawing a blank on the technical word for it. Like a,
like an educational video, instructional form, series, something like that. Okay. A series.
Yep. On, getting started, like getting, like your first initial handful of steps and goes.
There you go, Brian. Brian gets a free plug here on the podcast. Free plug. You're welcome. Brian.
Yeah. So anyways, but I was just on the phone with him the other day running through it before he dropped it. You know, the time and commitment that he's put into that thing, like, and doing everything else he does is, like how he does it, I don't know. But he'd be a good one. And then a local guy, he is also part of the UAG program, but he runs a hardscape. They do brick pavers and hardscaping.
Okay.
Almonds Landscape. You can find him on Instagram. He blows up his stories on Instagram on actual, in the job stuff he's going through.
Okay.
So he is super, that guy has, I feel like, has more knowledge in the hardscape industry and everything.
That's awesome. And I think we follow him on Instagram. So we may reach out to him.
And his wife, you know, they're running the show and they have a handful of employees, but his wife is super involved. Like his wife is, he posted on his story of her finishing concrete.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So she is super involved in it. And I think that's awesome. That's cool. So I would say those two people for sure would definitely add value to the audience for sure.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate it. We'll wrap up here. Thank you. Thank you for your time and best of luck to you. Well, I'll definitely stay in touch. And if we don't connect again, we'll meet up at the expo.
Yep, absolutely. Look forward to it, man.
All right. Thanks, boss. Have a good one.
Yep. We'll see you. Have a great day.
See ya. Hey, lawn care leaders, thanks for listening. Wanted to hop in here, let you know that Jobber has launched a new product for $19 a month, giving folks the opportunity at any stage in their business to access software. They understand that entrepreneurs sometimes don't have big crews, and they want to help the folks out by just getting them started. If you're looking to offer a hassle-free customer experience and professional-looking quotes and invoices, then you need and you must check out Jobber. I'm telling you what, from day one, when I was just one guy in a push mower, we hopped on Jobber, changed the game for us. So head on over to getjobber.com/Britt-Dowd. That's BRITT-DOWD. And again, that's getjobber.com. Here we go, back to the show. Hey, lawn care leaders, hope you enjoyed that. That was a fun talk. Like I said, great guy. I'm sure you heard that coming across in our conversation. So hop over there, follow him on Instagram, and comment on our most recent post. Let us know what you thought about this. If you have ideas, questions, concerns, comments, want to just talk shop, comment on one of our posts, DM me. I'm always welcome to help where we can. Tell you where we've screwed up, what we're doing right, and either way, would love to hear your story. So thanks for listening in, guys, and until next week, hope you guys keep at it. We'll be with you again soon.